And then now it gives me a great pleasure to introduce our 15-minute speaker, as well as the new secretary of this South County speaker meeting. Let's give it up for Lucas W. from Morro Bay.
Thank you, Brenda. My name is Lucas. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Brenda and Annette, for your guys' service on this meeting. I'm honored to be the secretary and to be speaking with all of you. Let me start my time real quick. So just a bit to qualify, I'm an alcoholic. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. My sobriety date is December 16th, 2018. So I've got a little bit over 2 years. That was not my first sobriety date. I had several before that, one of which lasted a little bit of time, but I'm still relatively new in the program. You know, the more time that I get, the more I realize that I have a lot more to learn, and that this is just a constant ongoing process. Like, as soon as I get a little bit of pride in my sobriety and that, like, oh, I have things figured out, you know, life throws a curveball at me and humbles me and teaches me, oh no, I don't have this figured out. And so I'm really grateful for this program for helping me through that. So I guess just going back to how it all started. I can't really say too much about having any sort of troubled childhood. Like, I have great parents. You know, I grew up in a great home. There was really no trouble of any kind. So I can't blame anything on my alcoholism. I can't blame it on the conditions of my youth. It just was all me. So I started drinking. I can't remember when my first drink was, but I know that I started drinking to get drunk when I was 17. So I was a little bit of a late bloomer. Up until that point, I'd kind of had some reservations about ever doing it, and was kind of a hard, like, try hard, goody two shoes sort of person. And that was just not really in my nature. And eventually I just cracked. You know, I had a bad day and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it. And it was definitely euphoric. I wouldn't say it was like I felt like I had arrived or that I belonged. Like, again, I grew up in a pretty solid environment, and with the group of friends that I currently had back in the day, I grew up in San Jose. I felt very secure in that. Like, it was just an extra layer of camaraderie. However, I definitely enjoyed the effect produced by alcohol. And within, I think, a month or two of me drinking for the first time to get drunk, I blacked out for the first time. And for me, blackouts were never a fun occurrence. I was actually thinking before this meeting if there had ever been a blackout where I was like, because I was thinking, a lot of people say they drank to blackout, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. Because every time I did something, especially if other people were involved, bad things happened every single time. It was never like there was never a success story that came out of a blackout for me. And so that happened. I embarrassed myself in front of, you know, my parents, my friends, like, and so I was like deathly scared of drinking again because I lost complete control and I didn't like that. Like, I like being inebriated and like being on the verge of losing control, but, you know, not completely losing, because I'm all about having control in my life. Just another big problem for me. And so fast forward, I eventually started trying other forms of alcohol that you would smoke, and that grew to other substances as well. My relationship with alcohol was kind of a tentative one. Like, while these other forms of alcohol snuck into my life, especially at college when I was no longer surrounded by friends in the community that I knew, and was kind of, you know, lost, those substances and alcohol became an easy way to make new friends. And so I leaned pretty hard into that. That was pretty much all I did at college, and especially when I started, and that's how I made friends, and that's what I did in my fun time. Like, everything else started slipping away. You know, I had a whole like healthy lifestyle that I was doing. You know, I had certain like routines and habits, and that just all slipped away because it was getting in the way of how I wanted to, you know, cover up what I was feeling. And you know, not have to deal with life, and I enjoyed the effects produced. So yeah, that ended up going downhill pretty quick. I came to Cal Poly, and pretty quickly, I think it was within a year and then an extra quarter, I'd been kicked out because of my grades. Because if I was presented with the choice of, you know, going to class or drinking and or using, it was an easy decision for me to just be like, no, I'm not. And like around this time, I started getting very, very depressed, like suicidal, and, you know, fessed up to my parents for the first time that like, oh, there's some, you know, I've been having trouble with this. They're very sympathetic and very supportive. And, you know, I started going to Cuesta because when presented with the option of going back home or staying down here in San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Obispo area, and drinking and using more, I chose to do that instead because I was like, I still don't want to change how I'm living. And so that progressed. I eventually actually worked my way back into Cal Poly, despite my using and drinking habits not particularly changing and honestly just getting progressively worse. And eventually I started to move away from those other substances and start leaning more heavily on alcohol, despite the fact that blackouts were becoming more frequent and, you know, the consequences were bad. Like, you know, I blacked out at a party, like almost destroyed a friend's like music equipment that was like worth $1,000, locked myself in a bathroom, and the cops got into a screaming match with cops that my roommates, who hate the cops, called on me. You know, I went over to my friend's house in San Jose and was in a blackout, thought it'd be a good idea to take a shower. And then for some reason, wasn't able to tell my clothes from either his sister's or his mom's clothes. I ended up with their sweatshirt and their shoes, which are way too small for my feet, and walked back. And I was like, and I had to walk back with them in the morning. And I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. And like instances like that, like coming to out of a blackout, wandering a neighborhood at like sometime in the morning, I don't know what time, because I lost my phone, and situations where I was just like putting myself in danger continuously. And eventually that just led to me to isolating, because I was embarrassing myself over and over again. And like, it wasn't safe for me to be going out and about. I couldn't tell if I was going to black out or not if I went out drinking. So eventually I had had enough. Like, I was shaky, I was certain that something was going wrong, I was isolating entirely, and fessed up to my parents. And at this point I had done this several times, and their sympathy was pretty much gone, because they were just like, okay, well, he's saying this again, nothing's going to change. And I went home, and I was like, okay, I need to do something. Like, I don't know if that means rehab. I don't know what it means. And it was suggested that I come to an AA meeting, which I did when I was, I came to the Melody Group in SLO. This was in 2017. And immediately that feeling of being alone slipped away. Like, people were saying things that were, people that were well put together, you know, seemed well balanced, had things figured out in life. We're like laughing at past experiences that I was like, wow, I relate to this. Like, I'm not alone. There's people like me. And so I lived that the year of like 2018, like the end of 2017 to through most 2018 sober. And it was an awesome year. It paled in comparison to any other year. I was going to meetings. I got a sponsor eventually, started working the steps, but I never really accepted that I was an alcoholic, that I could never drink or use again. And so by the time I came back to school from living in San Jose for most of the previous year, I thought, well, things have changed for me now. I'm different than other alcoholics. And I was proven sorely mistaken. You know, I think it was like, I only drank for like 2.5 months. I gained like 25 pounds in that span. I was completely like bloated, like my face looked like a chipmunk, and, you know, shaky, vomiting blood, you know, waking up, drinking, going to sleep, like drunk, blacking out at random times. Like, it was just a mess, you know, paramedics getting called on me. And it was hard because I had experienced what it was like to be sober and how much better it was. And yet, in spite of having the knowledge of what sobriety was like, it wasn't enough for me. to get sober. And so I had to really reach a point of desperation. And on December 16th, I headed home to San Jose for winter break. Somehow I didn't let school fall apart in that time. And I've been sober ever since. I don't know what was different about that time. I'd been going to meetings and trying to get sober. Like, I'd been going to meetings every day and trying to get sober, but and I don't know what changed, but for some reason it worked, and I can't put a finger on exactly what it was. And I'm just grateful it did. And yeah, I mean, at that point I'd gotten a new sponsor, at a meeting in Morro Bay, and started working through the steps again and earnestly paying attention, because I knew that the next time that I went back out, if there ever was to be a next time, it would be worse than the previous time. And I don't know if I'd come back from that. You know, I was on an edge. And so I worked through the steps, you know, and for me, especially like turning my will and my life over, when I had gone through the steps before, rewinding a little bit, when I had gone through the steps before, my sponsor had put we just kind of read through the steps, and he didn't really like highlight anything. It wasn't really a discussion. And with my current sponsor, we talk about each step, you know, we talk about what it means to turn, you know, your will and your life over to a higher power. Like, I think step 6 and 7, he had me wait several months over thinking about my, you know, my character defects, and if I'm really willing to give them up. You know, I got to make amends in this program to my parents. I mean, I got to make financial amends to my parents. I had stolen, like, in my last run that lasted 2.5 months, I stole $1,500 from them, and was able to make that amends. But I mean, more importantly, I've been able to make the amends of being a decent son, which is something like, I don't know, I just really treasure it. And I got into service even before I was getting sober. I had gotten my sponsor, and he was like, get service commitments. And I'd never had one when I was previously in AA. And especially for my first year of sobriety, I'd say the service like was a big, big part of my, my program. I got a secretary of a, you know, a young people's meeting. I was on the like young people's committee, which I'm still on today. And, yeah, I had a number of commitments, and it really kept me going and helped me discover ways to have fun with people in the program. That I was like, okay, we're going to go out for a bingo night to Santa Barbara with their young people's committee. Like, is this really going to be, or not bingo, it was a trivia. And I was like, is this really going to be that fun? And it turned out to be honestly like a super fun and rowdy time. And I was like, okay, like I can get down with this. I mean, the unity of the program has really kept me going at hard times, you know, and it honestly, there's been a lot of ups and downs. I'd say my first year of sobriety was pretty awesome for the most part. Like, I got to have a lot of experiences, you know, sober. I got to, you know, go to a bunch of concerts and festivals sober. I got to, you know, work through my steps. I got to have service commitments, make a bunch of new friends that I still treasure today. And my second year of sobriety presented me with challenges that I didn't really foresee. I mean, with COVID coming in, like, unity felt less accessible to me. You know, I was able to continue working my steps with my sponsor. I'm going through them again. You know, and there were some personal things that came up, but really in the end, despite how difficult some of those things have been, like, I know that there'll probably be harder things coming along the way, and like, this too shall pass. And this program, like, I would try everything to make some of the pain of these situations pass. And I found that it was just kind of an experiment. And like, sometimes, you know, leaning on prayer and meditation, working with, you know, other people was really what I needed. Sometimes that didn't really do it for me. I just needed the unity of the program, like hanging out with people. Sometimes meetings was what I needed. Sometimes working steps is what I needed. And so it was honestly a blessing that I was able to go through such hard times, because at least emotionally hard times, not hard times in other ways. And because I was able to, you know, figure out that this program just helps in times where I feel completely lost and like nothing's going to help. Just like it did for me when I was unable to stop drinking. And anyways, I mean, my life today, I mean, on a material level is a lot better. I mean, I get to live with people in the program. I have a job. I have graduated college, which I didn't think was possible. And, you know, spiritually, I feel, you know, much more content today on a daily level. So coming up on my time. So anyways, thank you guys. And that's enough out of me.
Thank you. Let's give Lucas another round of applause. There we go.